At the special Scottish court in the Netherlands, the prosecution in the Lockerbie trial began making its closing statement today. The prosecutor told the court the Crown had proven beyond reasonable doubt that the two Libyan defendants blew up Pan Am Flight 103, killing 270 people. But in summing up months of testimony, he admitted its case was circumstantial. NPR's Julie McCarthy reports.
Mathematical certainty is neither necessary nor achievable, prosecutor Alistair Campbell told the court. He asserted that the 230 witnesses called by the Crown should overcome any fanciful or speculative doubt about the events of December 21, 1988. The prosecution's belief in its case was evident in its decision to streamline the indictment to a single charge, murder. Conspiracy and violation of the Aviation Security Act have been dropped. The move provided another unexpected turn in the trial's final week. Criminal law expert Claire Conley has closely followed the proceedings.
Yes, it came as some surprise, I think, to the people present in the court today. Certainly when a case that has been based on circumstantial evidence, it seems perhaps, let's say, a brave move to go for the most difficult charge. But certainly the prosecution team seem to be confident in what they're doing.
It is an all-or-nothing gamble for prosecutors who have spent years assembling a case of terrorism that sprawled from Europe to North Africa to the Middle East. In the end, it was two Libyans in the dock. Prosecution counsel Campbell also had to change the indictment today to reflect that prosecutors had not proved that defendant Alamin Khalifa Fahima was a Libyan intelligence agent, but merely an employee of the state airline. Still, the Crown said it had proved its case against both Fahima and Abdel Ali al-Megrahi. Campbell recalled the explosion of Pan Am Flight 103 over the Scottish town of Lockerbie, how evidence was recovered from vast tracts of countryside that stretched to the North Sea. He explained how attention came to center on the fragments of a Samsonite suitcase that revealed a violent internal explosion. Hidden inside was a Toshiba radio cassette player, the source of the improvised bomb. Fragments of the timer were found embedded in shards of recovered clothing. The court had heard the prosecution recall that the clothing, including trousers, baby clothes, and an umbrella, had been traced back to a clothing shop in Malta. He reminded the court of the testimony of the shop owner, Tony Gauci, who'd said he'd sold the items to defendant Megrahi. The prosecution turned to an Air Malta flight and the unaccompanied suitcase that had been tagged for New York. He recalled the diary of defendant Fahima and an entry that read, "Get luggage tags." The prosecutor reviewed testimony from a Swiss manufacturer who'd said he'd sold electronic devices to the Libyans and that he had had close contact with the defendant Megrahi. Prosecutors acknowledged that Edwin Bollier had switched his story several times. The judges today seemed concerned about a witness that the prosecution has had to place much stock in. Abdulmajid Giaka was the closest thing the Crown had to an eyewitness. Now living under the Federal Witness Protection Program in the United States, he came across as a scheming self-promoter, eager to serve his American masters who were financing his new life in exchange for what he knew of Libyan intelligence. The prosecution never produced direct evidence that either of the two accused actually put the bomb on the plane in Malta, and the defense closing speech will doubtless make the most of that. The prosecution continues its summation tomorrow. Julie McCarthy, NPR News, at the Lockerbie trial in the Netherlands.